Welcome, guys. Welcome to Hebrew Club, everybody. A new quarter, spring. It's a beautiful day out, right? And we are in a good section of the book. We're about ready to start chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 12. And if you will remember, Uriah had just been killed, and so we are now getting the famous chapter where the prophet Nathan visits David. All right, so we're going to start at verse 1. Vayishlach Yahweh et Natan el David, vayavo elav, vayomer lo, shnei anashim hayu be'ir echad, echad hashir ve'echad rash. All right, then Yahweh sent Nathan. So vayishlach, again, vav consecutive. Call from the root shalach. Yahweh sent et Nathan to David. Vayavo, and he came to him, again from the root bo, vav consecutive imperfect, and he came to him, vayomer, and he said to him, shnei anashim, two men. Again, notice how the word two is in construct. All right. And sometimes it's in absolute form. Here it's construct. And with a small number like this, the men is plural. When you get to bigger numbers, remember, we've seen that the noun tends to be singular. So here you have kind of a regular form. Two men were in Echad, in a city, one. So we would probably say in a certain city. All right. Echad, so notice this is the feminine form Echad, masculine form Echad. One was Ashir. So one was rich, the Echad, and one was Rash, poor. This rash is actually a call participle, and it's from the root resh, vav, shin, and sometimes you get it written with that aleph, which is noticed working as a helping consonant. You know, it's a to help you pronounce that rash. Sometimes you'll just get resh, shin, as you would for other hollow verbs, like kum would be calm, so rush is rash. So one was poor, okay? So pretty simple here. Any questions about verse 1, about forms or anything? Ellen. All right, verse 2. Here it comes. Le Ashir Hayatzon Uvakar Harbe Me'od. To the rich guy, Le Ashir. So to the rich guy there were zon, sheep, and cattle. Harbe me'od. Now, harbe is, again, infinitive construct. Hifil from Rabbah, used as an adverb. And me'od strengthens it, is also an adverb. So harbe, a multitude, me'od, a great. So notice that he had flocks, he had flock and cattle, or sheep and cattle, great multitudes. All right, and so the le'ashir functions as possessive. So we would say the rich man had flock, sheep and cattle, huge bunch. Okay? Now, 3. Velarash, to the poor guy. See, notice the rash is spelled without the aleph here. And again, in this manuscript, it's going to be uneven. Lerash, ein kol. Ki'im kivsachat katana asher kana. Vayecha yeha vayigdal imo ve'im banav yachdav. Mipito tokal u mikoso tishte u vecheto tishka vatehi lo kevat. Okay. And to the poor one, ain kol, not anything. Notice how kol, how the ain negates kol. And to the poor one, there was not anything. Ki'im, except. Okay. So we'd say the poor man had nothing. Except. Ki'im, kivsa, a kivsa is a ewe lamb, a little lamb. Kivsa, a lamb achat. One little kivsa. See, ketana also is a feminine adjective. So kivsa, a lamb, one little one. So one little kivsa. Which, kana means to buy, which he had bought. Okay? Vayechayeha, this is a pl, infinitive construct, from chaya, in the call it means to live. And in the PL, of course, it means to preserve alive. Here we would say, and he nurtured it. See? And he nurtured it. Va-tigdal, and it grew up. This is from gadal to be great. So again, a call, imperfect vav, consecutive. And it grew up, imo, with him. Ve'im, and with banav, and with his sons, yachdav, together. So notice how Nathan's painting this picture. Okay. Mipito, that's from, then pet is a morsel. From his morsel. And notice it's emphasizing the little bit of food he had. So from his own little morsel of food, it would eat. A tokal, notice, is a first aleph verb, call, imperfect, and it's referring to the lamb. The call would, the lamb would eat. U mikoso, and from his cup, again, kos is the noun for cup, and from his cup, tishta, it would drink, from shata. And becheto, in his, or at his bosom or breast, from chek, at his breast, tishkav, again, a call imperfect, it would lie down. Vatahi, and it was to him kevat, as a daughter. All right. Any questions about verse 3? You get the poignancy here. Nathan's making the point. Okay? Questions? All right. Verse 4. Vayavo helek la'ish ha'ashir vayachmo la'kachat mitzono u'mib karo la'asot la'oreach habalo vayikach et kivsat ha'ish harash vayaseha la'ish haba'ela. Then that here helek, everyone see the root of helek? It means to walk, and here it's just the noun, a traveler. A traveler came, vayavo. To now notice this construction. La'ish, notice there's no definite article. He'ashir has the definite article, and he'ashir means the rich. Alright, so notice that you have the noun ish without the article. And then the adjective, rich one, with the article. This, you see a handful of cases in which that he'ashir, which is in kind of which is in apposition, will have the article and the main noun won't. If you go to some of the major grammars, you'll see a bunch of them like that. I think it's probably a more colloquial way, kind of more substandard Hebrew. So a traveler came to, but we would translate, notice, a traveler came to the rich man. Vayachmol. Okay, notice that this is from the root chamal. We know it usually means to pity or to have compassion on. But here it doesn't mean that. It means something like he was loath. And he was loath, lakachat, to take. Call infinitive from what root? Lakach. Right, notice that has that T ending. And he was loath to take from his flock or from his cattle. Bekaro. All right. La'aso, to prepare. Okay, notice another call infinitive construct. So a traveler came and he was loath to take something from his flock or from his cattle to make it or to prepare it. La'orech, for the traveler, the one coming to him. Haba, again, is a call participle used as a substantive here. To take for the traveler who was coming or who had come to him. Vayikach, and so he took from lakach, et kivsat ha'ish harash, and so he took the lamb of the man, the poor one. All right, now we don't know what happened here because he was the feudal lord. He could just kind of do what he wanted. That's what he did. He took that one, vayaaseha, and he made it, prepared it, for the man, la'ish, the one who had come, elav, to him.
Okay. It's kind of the same thing that they're doing there with that participle, bo.
Yes.
Putting the article on that and not on the noun that it's modifying.
Yeah, except that notice the la ish tells you that the Masoretic wants you to read the article with that ish in that case. And that's the difference there. Notice you have the comments under there.
Oh, right.
So that tells you definite article. Yeah, so it's more regular there. I suppose technically you could see that ish ashir as a genitive construction, the man of the rich. You know, you have something like that. But either way, the English translation is going to be that way. All right? So you can see the imbalance here would get anyone mad. You get angry just listening to this, right? which was its intent. Verse 5. Vayichar af David ba'ish me'od. Vayomer el Natan. Chai Yahweh. Kiven mavet ha'ish ha'oseh zot. Okay, vayichar is from the root. Anyone see the root? Chara. It's one of those third hey roots and the hey is dropped off. Call imperfect. To become hot. So the face of David became hot. Ba'ish, against the man, now me'od, very. See how the adverb comes at the end? So David became very angry at the man. And he said to Nathan, notice this oath formula, we've seen this before, Chai Yahweh, by Yahweh's life, or on the life of Yahweh. Ki, certainly, now notice this construction, a son of death. We wouldn't translate a son of death. Notice here, Ben, used with a noun like mavet, is a kind of a category person. We would say, certainly a dead man is the one ha'osa, the one who has done this. Ha'osa, again, is a participle used as a substantive. We saw that in the previous verse with ha'ba. Here we see it with ha'osa. Okay? So David became very angry at the man, and he said to Nathan, upon the life of Yahweh, certainly the man who did this is a dead man, a ben mavet, son of death. Okay? Questions through 5. So notice how Ben's function, you wouldn't translate Ben as son here. Okay? Just like a man of blood, ish damim, would say a bloodthirsty person. We wouldn't say a man of blood. Okay? Verse 6. Ve'et ha'kivsa yeshalem arba taim. Ekev asher asah et hadavar hazeh, ve'al asher lo chamal. Now notice how he fronts the object with the verb. The verb is the third element. The et tells you it's the direct object. And as for the lamb, yeshalem, he shall restore. Okay? Now notice this is a piel imperfect. Arba time, notice that this is, you can see the word, the number 4 in here. Okay, and notice it's kind of a dual plural. So fourfold. And the lamb he shall restore fourfold. Now, Ekev Asher, both those go together and it means because. Because he has done et hadavar hazeh. Because he has done this thing. The Al Asher, again, notice those two go together. So Al Asher and Ekev Asher are kind of parallel. And because lo chamal, he had no pity. So notice chamal has a different meaning in verse 4 as it does in verse 6. And of course, our reading of the text kind of directs us very nicely there to the difference in meaning between the words here. So notice he had no compassion on the poor guy. Yeah, Will.
Notice about chamal was despair.
Yes.
So does it make sense in both cases if you take it as that, to spare, that verb, and spare to take, he refrains?
Well, I mean, yeah, it just becomes a very wooden kind of thing, kind of wooden way to render it in English if you say spare. Because, I mean, it's not very common for us to use spare, like especially in the first instance there. He did not spare to take. He was spare to take. See, it doesn't kind of make sense in English. So notice that there's a difference between the gloss, an English gloss, and a meaning as a concept.
Well, I'm talking about not spare necessarily, a refrain. He refrained to take.
Well, I mean, again, you could. It would be a matter of, does that even communicate what the intention of the author is here? See? So, again... You have to think of meaning not as an English gloss, but as the concept that you're trying to get through. And then what's the best English way to render a translation? See, so you're always after, what's the author intend to say here? And then try to figure out what the best English gloss is to capture the meaning. So meaning is always, a gloss always underdetermines meaning. In other words, the meaning is the concept in your mind. What's the best English word to get that across? Sometimes, notice, as a translation aside, something that you really might want to communicate is an emotion. So what word or words are you going to pick to communicate an emotion, not just maybe a cognitive idea or thought, you know? So you're kind of also working on the affective level too, and not just the cognitive level when you're trying to come up across a good translation, right? So you're trying to, yeah, work that in. And notice that, I mean, you can almost hear Nathan the way he weights things in this little parable, right? Because he weights it to the heinousness of this rich guy versus the innocence. I mean, the way he draws out the relationship of the lamb to the poor guy, see? It was like a daughter to him, see? I mean, that's language to evoke an emotional response in you, not just to state a fact, see? Because there's a certain poignancy that comes across to the reader, and that's what he's trying to get across by the comparison. It was like a daughter. See, he's not dealing on a factual level so much as an emotional, affective level. See, it's a matter of the heart. Because when you hear it was like a daughter, what do you think? Oh, man, he loved it. You see, the closest kind of relationship, see? No, see, right. See, he's luring David into this trap on his emotions.
Well, this is doubly so because it's not a factual matter at all. It's purely...
It's this whole story is meant to get an emotional trap. It's on the emotional level that it's working, an emotional truth. You know, so he wants to provoke outrage, I suppose, in David, which is what he does. See, so it's working on this emotional level. It's really interesting. That's what makes it so interesting as we're reading, and then the translation becomes kind of how do we bring that kind of stuff across. Good. So verse 7 then. Vayomer Natan el David. Ata ha'ish. Pause. Ko amar Yahweh Elohei Yisrael. Anoki meshachtika lemelek al Yisrael. Ve'anoki hitzaltika miyad Shaul. Then Nathan said to David, Ata ha'ish, you, the man. Pause. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Now notice he puts pronouns before all these verbs. So, you know, in English we would put it in italics if we were writing it out. Or in English we might say, I myself anointed you. Notice that this is simple call, perfect, first common from Mashach. I myself anointed you. Lemelech, as king over Israel. Vanoki, and I myself, Hitzaltika, delivered you. Notice that this is a Hifil, again perfect from Natsal. And I myself delivered you, Miyad Shaul, from the hand of Saul. So notice how Nathan is speaking with the pronouns here. And the pronouns tell us, oh, there's an emphasis on David had no part in it at all, see. Questions through 7? Okay, he continues here. Now notice he doesn't use the pronoun so much. He's made his point. Va'etna leket beit Adoneka vet neshe Adoneka bechekeka. Va'etna leket beit Yisrael vihuda. Ve'im me'at ve'osifa leka kahena ve'kahena. And I gave to you. This is from Natan. First common singular. Notice you have it spelled with a hey. A lot of times these vav consecutives, first common singulars, you see it, especially in later texts, with this hey at the end of it. Notice it's written like a cohortative, but it doesn't have the cohortative sense. It's a vav consecutive. It's kind of a full spelling. And I gave to you et beit, the house of your master. Notice Adonai is plural here. Again, a plural of majesty. And we've seen this a lot with Adonai. When you put a suffix on it, it becomes plural. You use the plurals. I gave to you the house of your master and the wives of your master, neshe, into your bosom. So notice he uses the same word as a parable, nice link, into your bosom. And I gave to you the house of Israel and Judah. Pause. And if me'at, me'at means small. And if, so you have to supply the, it's used in a comparative sense here, an absolute sense. If this, or if it was too small, see me'at, if small, ve'osifa. Notice the root is, this is a hifil from yasaf. Okay, notice the first yudness of this root. The first yudness shows up in that holam after the aleph. So it's a hifil, and notice you have the hirik under the sin, and you don't have the expanded hirik yod. So that tells you that this is a hifil. And notice it's not a vav consecutive. It's a vav plus imperfect form. There's no vav consecutive ending. And if small, then I would add. Yasaf means to add. Then I would add to you kahena. Hena means this. So as this and as this. So something like, then I would add to you in this way and that way. Right? Referring to the accumulation of more kingdoms, more riches, you know, all that that implies. Okay? Good. Questions? We go one more verse here. Questions through 8? All right, verse 9. Here comes the big question. Madua bazita et devar Yahweh la'asot hara be'enav be'enai et Uriah ha'chiti hikita b'cherev ve'et ishto lakachta lekale isha ve'oto haragta b'cherev b'nei Amon. Okay. Madua is just the interrogative. Why have you despised? This is from the root beit, zayin, hey, baza, call, imperfect, second, masculine, singular. Why have you despised the word of Yahweh to do the evil thing in my eyes? Et Uriah, so namely Uriah the Hittite, Hikita, you have struck from Nakah with the sword. And his wife you have taken for yourself as a wife. And him you have killed with the sword of the sons of Ammon, the Ammonites. All right? We'll start here, and I'll kind of go over that again next week. And again, notice the word order that's being given here. All right? Questions? All right. Thanks very much, you guys. And we'll see you next week. Tell everybody else to come.